Country Bob FM.
Time for the Almanac on Bob FM. I'm Jim. We've got Brittany, and we've got Flemmy and Squiggy over here.
Yeah, thank you.
Neil Freeman is here to help us out as well. He's getting ready for the Gons But Not Forgottens. The Bob Almanac is brought to you by the man who knows more than anybody about the country. No one knows the country like Kurt Weers, United Country Real Estate in Annandale. Are we charging him enough? The Almanac yesterday went almost 25 minutes. That's almost a whole episode of Happy Days.
Right.
Or Laverne and Shirley, speaking of Lenny and Squiggy.
It might be the best bargain in radio
right
now.
I think he's getting a great deal. Yeah. There's no doubt, even when we forget to mention him.
Right, right.
So let's do today, Wednesday, June 7th, 207 days until the end of the year. Yesterday we talked about D-Day. Somebody tweeted out a picture, and it was all these guys that had made it to the shore. You know, all the Allied forces, mostly Americans, all the Allied forces on the shores of Normandy, and they're ready to then proceed. They're
right.
ready to advance. And then somebody said, if you think you have a hard day today,
right?
You know, if you think you have a hard job, or yeah. you know, that you had a hard day, think what these guys were facing, right?
Perspective is a powerful
there
thing.
Were a lot think of Germans it. Dug in
yes.
and waiting for them.
Term they use is fortified.
Fortified, yeah, they were.
1892 on this date, John Joseph Doyle became the first ever pinch hitter in baseball. They had never used it before.
Wow.
He was used in a game. Think of the guy who they pinch hit for. Yeah. First guy ever to be taken out of the game for another hitter. I mean, I'm not good.
You're doing what?
I'm assuming he was making contact like Byron Buxton was earlier
Correct,
this
yeah.
year, and they pulled him. John Joseph Doyle, credited the first pinch hitter. He was playing for the Cleveland Spiders. They were at Brooklyn on this date.
I wonder how he did.
Patsy Tabu was the manager. Guess what? Doyle came through with a game-winning single in the ninth inning.
Well, he's a smart as a pinch manager.
Hitter. He's no Jim Dwyer or well, Randy Bush.
Right.
1892. 1942, speaking of World War II, this was, of course, prior to D-Day when these things happened. In 1942, the Battle of Midway ended.
Oh, sure.
It was a sea and air battle lasting 4 days. We sunk 4 Japanese carriers, one of their cruisers, and 292 aircraft. The Japanese suffered 2,500 casualties. The U.S., we did lose the USS Yorktown, so that was a loss. We lost a destroyer, 145 aircraft, and suffered 307 casualties. So you look at the math, the Allies and the U.S. won.
Yeah.
Battle of Midway. Some pretty good movies about that.
I know, and I'm just trying to think, what are we winning when we're fighting out in the middle of the ocean? What are you really winning?
You're weakening
there?
Them. You're trying to get to islands and territory, and you can no longer advance past this parallel.
Right.
I guess. 1942, same thing, same day, but something else was happening away from Midway. It was the Aleutian Islands off Alaska coast.
Sure.
Reaches out like an arm, shaking yes. hands with Russia.
Yes.
The Aleutian Islands. Japan landed troops on the Aleutian Islands of Attu and Kiska. The U.S. then invaded and recaptured the Aleutians 1 year later. People forget that the Japanese were actually... Now, it wasn't a state yet, but it was a territory.
Sure.
Alaska was at that time.
Yep.
And the funny thing about the Aleutian Islands, if I was to ask you what's the most western part of the United States, you might say Hawaii. Actually, the Aleutians, as far as longitude, they're the farthest west. They're also the farthest east because there's some of the islands on the other side of the international dateline.
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
the Aleutian Islands. I loved it. I'm going
You're
to Alaska.
So full of facts. I love it.
I want to go to Alaska. Oh, I'm going to
You're
Alaska.
Going, yes.
I wouldn't mind going and seeing. I'm sure they've got some monuments and things to the battle on the Aleutian Islands. I don't know. Probably need a ferry to get out there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It probably would be more than a day trip, but it
would
be
kind of cool. You could take a canoe or a rowboat, I think.
A kayak.
I
would
you
love
could
the
do
kayak.
That.
And it's too bad that Sarah Palin didn't live on the Aleutians because she could actually see Russia.
There she goes.
In that case.
Yeah, actually would have.
1955 on this date. It was the golden era of the 50s game show.
Revlon, the greatest name in cosmetics, presents the 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64. Yes, the $64,000 question.
$64,000 question premiered on TV on this date. It was a great day, a great era for game shows.
Sure.
And then they got caught up in the whole
cheating.
The scandal,
yes.
the cheating.
Yes.
And It wasn't as bad as 21. 21 was the one where they were giving them the questions. Yes. But this one here was like Revlon, the sponsor, was like manipulating it and telling who could be on and what the questions were. And they found that to be scandalous. So the $64,000 question, which basically is the premise of I Want to Be a Millionaire. Yeah. You just keep answering questions as you go. The money amount gets, the questions supposedly doubles, get harder and harder, and the money gets higher and higher. Now, here's another tidbit I dug up. Because of the downfall of the game shows in that era in the late 50s, if game shows hadn't been toppled, we probably wouldn't have had Bonanza, Gunsmoke, various other shows, because it was the loss of the game shows, the big vacuum that was left when the game shows, which were big hits in prime time, left a big gaping hole. Westerns,
they needed to do something.
They needed something to fill that time, and Westerns, what happened?
Yeah, Westerns did. You know, they kind of made the move from radio to TV.
And then what happened after that was the great rural purge in the 60s and early 70s, where you lost all those Petticoat Junction and Green Acres and all the, and Andy Griffith, all those shows went bye-bye, and that opened the door then for Happy Days and All in the Family and all those. TV history,
there
ladies
it is.
And gentlemen.
You gotta love
it. It's the only history I really know.
Yeah.
1965, Sony Corporation unveiled their brand new home videotape recorder, the VTR, it was called then. I think it was beta. I don't know, may not have been beta at that point. Might have just been a huge, huge cassette that looked like the size of a Volkswagen Rabbit. $995.
Oh, that's what they were going for.
For the Sony videotape recorder at home, 1965. That's
no wonder we didn't have one. That was out of our price range.
1966, Roy Orbison's first wife, Claudette, was killed in a motorcycle accident. Oh. Both her and Roy were riding motorcycles. They were motorcycle enthusiasts. Roy says that Elvis actually introduced him to motorcycles, and they were in Tennessee. He had been in Memphis and spent some time in Memphis, and Claudette was sideswiped by a truck, and she died pretty much on the site. Roy Orbison had a song called Claudette. I think it's the same one that the Everly Brothers had a hit with, Claudette Dead. 1976 on this date, let's head to the NBC newsroom.
This is NBC Nightly News with John Chancellor and David Brinkley. Tonight, August 16th, reported from the NBC News Center in New York.
I love the news sounder.
Yes. On this date, this is what happened.
Good evening.
Yeah, so good evening. It was the first ever NBC Nightly News with two hosts, John Chancellor and David Brinkley. Aired for the first time, 1976.
Can we adopt that sounder when I do my bottom of the hour news updates instead?
I'll see what I can do. It might be copyrighted.
Okay.
There's a possibility. We mentioned Elvis earlier. Elvis Presley's Graceland Mansion in Memphis, Tennessee, officially opened as a tourist attraction on the state in 1902. It took about 5 years after his death for them to do it. You should be there. If you ever go to Memphis, you should go visit. If you're an Elvis fan, you need to go see Graceland.
Oh, yeah.
What you'll be shocked by is the size. It's just tiny. Huh. You think of it as a mansion, but it's really small.
Huh.
A beautiful setting there on Elvis Presley Boulevard. That's 1982. 1999, FBI put terrorist mastermind Osama bin Laden, an anti-abortion activist, and accused doctor killer James Charles Kopp on the list of the 10 most wanted fugitives for the FBI. This was 1999.
Sure.
2 years before 9/11. And 2008 here this day. How about this music for a theme?
One of the greats.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat.
Wide world of sports. You know who hosted that? Jim McKay.
And he did for many, many years.
37 to be exact.
Wow.
Award-winning sportscaster. I associate him with the Olympics and golf and, of course, wide world of sports. Jim McKay. And who could forget his reporting in 72 Munich when the Israeli athletes were taken hostage and some of them killed, or they're all gone, as Jim McKay said. He died on this date in 2008. He was 86 years old. Birthdays.
So say you stay until tomorrow.
What would you say if I told you this was a number one country song?
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yes, like 74, I think, 75. Tom Jones.
Yes.
Goes country.
No, I know it's over.
Did you really really has evolved several different ways over the course of his life. Huh?
Yeah, because he had his regular pop hits, and he did Prince's Kiss. Remember, he did that. And then he dabbled in country. Tom Jones, he's known for a few things, some of which I can't mention. Tom Jones is 77. Of course, my favorite song from Tom Jones is It's Not Unusual.
Yeah.
Which is the song that Carlton did his dance to on The Fresh Prince. Brittany, you're familiar with
Jones have his TV show running.
I don't know. I'd have to fact check that.
Yeah. Fact check that.
Thank you.
He's probably the only Welsh singer who has a number one country tune.
Probably.
In the history of country music. Was he the greatest charlatan on TV ever in the history of sitcom situational comedies? I'm talking about Eddie Haskell.
Good evening, Mr. Cleaver. Good evening, Mrs. Cleaver.
Good evening.
Hello, Eddie.
Well, what show are you fellas going to see tonight?
We're going to Spartacus. I'm quite a student of history, and I'd like to see if it contains any inaccuracies.
Well, don't you let Kirk Douglas get away with anything, Eddie.
And I'm sure he won't. Ken Osmond.
That's
not part
good.
Of the Osmond clan.
No.
He played Eddie Haskell, and he was always kind of scheming. You know, was there a greater two-face?
Oh, that's great. That's awesome.
I mean, he was always so polite to the adults, although I think Mrs. Cleaver, I think she was on to him
a little bit. Yeah, at some point she caught on.
And Eddie had a crush on her. Always would comment on her hair and her dress. There's something goofy going on there.
Yeah.
But Ken Osmond.
That's good.
He is 74 today from Leave It to Beaver. Jenny Jones. She is that talk show host, Ambush Talk Show.
Now, which of these ways would you choose to reveal your secret crush on someone? A, would you write that person a letter? B, would you tell the person in private in case he rejects you? Or C, would you tell that person that you're gay and you hope he is on national television?
Should not have done it. That's the show that was banned, the episode. Remember, the one guy then killed the other.
Yes.
And the guy is in jail. He was the one they ambushed.
Right.
And wasn't quite ready for that news. And he's in jail. They sued the show. It was bad.
It was a bad ambush deal.
I don't like those ambush talk shows. They just, you know, putting people in bad situations, and then it's like putting mice in an experiment, basically, and it's supposed to be for our enjoyment.
Yeah.
Jenny Jones is 71 today.
No relation to Tom Jones.
No, we got a couple of Joneses here. We're trying to keep up with them here today. Liam Neeson is 65 today.
I have a very particular set of channels. If you'd like to purchase these channels, I'll come to your house and install your cable. And that'll be the end of it. If you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Now the question, Neil, is that Liam Neeson or is that Seth MacFarlane doing Liam Neeson?
Oh, wow. Maybe it is Seth.
It is Seth MacFarlane. Yeah. That's a pretty good impersonation, though, isn't
it? That's very good.
Liam Neeson is 65. Schindler's List. Qui-Gon Jinn. Star Wars Episode One. He was a Jedi. Ra's al Ghul, the leader of the League of Assassins.
Oh, yeah.
Ones that trained Batman.
Yep.
From Batman Begins. And, of course, the Taken movies.
1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, 1, 2, and 3. Liam Neeson. 65. L.A. Reid is 61, record executive, producer. He was on one of those talent shows. He worked with TLC, Outkast, one of Britney's favorites, Usher.
I do like Usher.
Pink, you like Dido?
Yeah.
Don't say Dido, it's Dido.
Should have been around for a little bit, but
L.A. Reid, 61. Mike Pence, he's our vice president. He is 58 today. This guy had a little bit of an identity crisis when it came to WWF wrestling. He was Dude Love. He was Mankind, and he was Cactus Jack. His real name, Mick Foley.
Oh, sure.
The master of the mandible claw, Mick Foley. Ever had the mandible claw?
Well,
you don't want it.
No, I don't want to. It's barred by Wally Carbo.
It is. It's even less comfortable than the maxilla claw.
Goodness.
Look out. 52 for Mick Foley. He started out as a North Star. He's a Hall of Famer, and he leads. He's the leading scorer point-wise and goal-wise for all American-born players. Mike Modano is 47 today. Oh, Willie Plett is also 62.
Oh, the
who also played for the North Stars. He was kind of an enforcer.
Yeah, I think he came over from the Flames.
I think you're right. So Mike Modano, 47. The survival expert, Bear Grylls. is 43 today. Man versus wild. Here he is out there trying to survive in the wild. He is killing what he eats, what he kills. He's eating bark. He's, you know, eating blubber off of a seal all the time. The film crew, they're eating Subway.
Right.
They got Subway, a Subway combo with chips and a pop and a cookie.
And he's eating
and
bark.
He's, yeah. So that's the thing about those in the wild shows.
Yeah.
Just not realistic enough. 43 today. Allen Iverson, 42. Pretty good point guard.
We talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice? We're talking about practice, man. We're talking about practice.
He's pretty good even without practice.
Right.
Now, the thing for Allen Iverson, you know, I don't know if he knows this or not, but as far as practice goes, people actually take stats for NFL practice now. They'll tell you Sam Bradford was 6 of 10 for 134 yards and 5 touchdowns.
In practice.
Throwing Skelly.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Allen Iverson is 42 today. Bill Hader, happy birthday from SNL.
Glad you came over, Devon.
Yeah, I'm glad, too.
Maybe you should get going before Stewart gets home.
Probably right. I was thinking I'd take Canyon View Drive over to San Vicente and then make a left and get on the 405 North from there, and then I could just get off on Mulholland.
I totally like that.
Yeah.
That's from the soap opera that they spoofed called The Californians.
Oh, yes.
Well, no. So Bill Hader's 39. He was in Knocked Up, Super Bad, does some voices. He's 39 today. Anna Kournikova, 36. Never won anything really in tennis, but she didn't have to.
No.
Really, she didn't
did
have
not.
To. She was just
she was a
doing
Russian
just fine.
Beauty.
She was known for her looks, her outfits, and dressing. Are not dressing, but dating high-profile athletes. Was it Steve Yzerman? Who was it that? It was one of the Red Wings.
Yeah.
Anna Kournikova, 36. Michael Cera. Speaking of Superbad, that was him.
Stay calm, okay? Let's not lose our heads. It's a fine ID. It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible. I mean, it's up to you, Fogle. This guy's either going to think here's another kid with a fake ID, or here's McLovin, the 25-year-old. Hawaiian organ donor.
29.
That's a good movie.
Superbad is good. I think
it
spans.
It was just on.
Even for you, Neil, at your advanced age, you like Superbad.
I did.
It's coming of age. It's all one day. This guy's trying to get alcohol for a party.
Yeah.
Mike, it's no laughing matter, of course. That's a serious issue, fake IDs and teenage drinking. But Michael Cera, 29 today. Again, listener discretion is advised. And rapper Fetty Wap.
Huh?
I just want to let you know, Fetty Wap. Not Weddy Fap, it's Fetty Wap.
Fetty Wap, usually.
Is it Wap?
Yeah.
That's too bad.
That
it sounds better,
cool.
Wap.
Well, Wap, because it should rhyme with rap.
Fetty Wap.
I think Fetty Wap was the official rapper for Elmer Fudd. Was he
That's
not?
You sound like Elmer Fudd when you say that. Yeah.
I'm assuming it's a guy.
It is a guy.
Okay.
Yep.
Fetty Wap is 26 today. I know we had Brittany here for a reason.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Neil, you...
Gone, but not forgotten. French painter, my favorite French painter, Paul Gauguin, was born on this day, 1848. I don't have any of his works.
You need the Heimlich.
In my house right now. But if I could get one, I still want. I'm sure I can't afford him. Paul Gauguin, 1848. Jessica Tandy, you remember.
You're going to be disappointed to know that he worked mostly with naked men.
Oh.
Is what he painted. So
well,
feel free to hang those in your house.
Then I'm glad I can't afford them. Jessica Tandy was born in the state in 1909. She won Emmy for Driving Miss Daisy with Morgan Freeman. Remember that one?
Miss Daisy, I ain't done nothing.
You had the car parked right in front of the front door of the temple like I was the Queen of Romania. Everybody saw you. Didn't I tell you to wait for me in the back?
Well, yes, but...
That was a good movie, big award-winning. I'd forgotten that Dan Aykroyd played her son. Her son in that movie.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about that.
Good stuff. Jessica Tandy, 1909. 8 years later, one of the Rat Pack, one of my favorites, Dean Martin.
Everybody loves somebody sometimes. Everybody falls in love somehow.
You know, he just wasn't Dean Martin unless he had a smoke in one hand and a drink in the other, right? The jingling ice.
That's the way he was best. He also starred in a couple of westerns with the Duke, of course.
Rio Bravo, right?
And the Sons of Katie Elder.
That's a good one.
That's a very good one. Ocean's 11, the original. And many, many others.
His
of course, roast. The celebrity roast.
His roast. I could spend hours and hours watching those things on YouTube.
Just hilarious. You know, just the people that were involved in those roasts, the Don Rickles and the Lucille Balls and the Liskin Foster Brooks, just awesome stuff. There are some great bits with him and Foster Brooks that are just classic.
He did Johnny Carson. He said, Johnny Carson was grown on the farm, grew up on the farm. The reason I know, I saw him at the bar with a couple of pigs.
Nice. Dean Martin, 1917. The first African-American Pulitzer Prize winner was Gwendolyn Brooks, born on the same day, same year, rather, as Dean Martin. Actress Dolores Gray, you remember her from a few different films, 1924. New York Yankee catcher, he was their captain for many years. Thurman Munson was born on this day in 1947, played through the 70s.
Yeah.
With some of those really good Yankee teams. He got killed in a
plane crash. Yeah. It was a plane crash.
Plane crash for the one of their captains. He was a classic catcher, just had the look.
He was gritty.
He had the gritty look. I like that. 1947, 1956, Bonnie Lee Bakley. She was married to actor Robert Blake, of Beretta fame. He was tried and acquitted of her murder. Still, mysterious circumstances surround her demise. Bonnie Lee Bakley, was born on this day, 1956. And one more, our very own Minneapolis native pop star Prince. Mm-hmm. You may even remember him as Prince Rogers Nelson. I think we actually had a scrimmage against his team when I was in high school. Same age. Yeah, he was a basketball player. Very small little point guard.
Why haven't you mentioned this before? You played basketball against Prince?
Yeah.
I've never heard this before.
They came and scrimmaged us.
What? This is something you tell people, Neil.
Ah, well, you know.
This is like a great icebreaker.
Well, he doesn't tell
him
because Prince took him to the rack.
Took me to the rack and made me look foolish.
He rocker stepped you right back into the locker room.
Yeah, it was rather embarrassing. I was, you know, a foot and a half taller. And even then, I may have outweighed him, although not by much. But Prince was born on this day, 1958. He changed his name to a symbol.
Yep.
Then was back to Prince. I'm glad he went back to Prince.
Yeah, that made sense.
The whole symbol thing I didn't care for.
Lost him a year ago, August. So there are
he would have been 59 today. Yeah, 59. He's gone, but certainly not forgotten.
Wow, I can't believe that. Okay, I just have one quick fact. Tom Jones's television show was called This is Tom Jones, and it was on from 1969 to 1971.
This is Tom Jones. I got your Tom Jones right here, as it should have been called.
Yep. That's it.
Oh, okay. Let's remind everybody, Kurt Weir's United Country Real Estate in Annandale, your sponsor for the Bob FM Almanac. We'll wrap up the Bob Morning Show here in just a minute. Neil will remind us what's going on, and then we'll get started with the Bobathon. We'll say goodbye to Brittany for the day, but not before we hear from a guy called the King of Country. I'm not gone.